The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie welcomes special guests Catherine and Jay Wolf.
Out of the blue, I came home for lunch, kind of a little 45-minute window, and during that time, Catherine collapsed and was rushed to the hospital. And they found out she was having a massive brainstem stroke. And unfortunately, it was the largest they had seen, 4 aneurysms on top of it around her brainstem. You know, it was just every worst case scenario. And, you know, little did we know, it would change our stories forever.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
And we're glad you're along today for a new beginning. Pastor Greg Laurie and his wife Kathy are with us in studio today. And Pastor Greg, Mother's Day is coming up May 10th.
Yeah.
You know, we can't forget Mom on this special day.
That's right.
A mother's job is never easy. It may be one of the most difficult yet important jobs on the planet.
True.
But we have some guests today who face some additional layers of challenge on top of the whole dynamic of being moms and dads. You want to explain
that?
Yes,
I do, Dave. We have a very special guest here today in studio with us are Catherine and Jay Wolf. And they have a brand new book out that is called Suffer Strong, subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. And Jay and Catherine both wrote this book together and sort of to set the stage, and I would like them to share their story with you. Jay writes, our stories are glorious. They're also painful, unfair, scary, and almost always quite different from what we thought they would be. Yet it seems that these parts might be the very means through which the glory is most revealed. More than a decade ago, on an ordinary day, life as we knew it changed. Jay, maybe you could tell us how life changed for you.
Sure. We were 26 at the time, living in Malibu. I was going to Pepperdine Law School. We had a 6-month-old baby and just every dream right in front of us, right within our grasp, it seemed, of me graduating law school, and Catherine was in the entertainment industry and we had this new baby. And out of the blue, I came home for lunch, kind of just so happened to come home from a little 45-minute window. And during that time, Catherine collapsed. She was totally healthy, no symptoms, no family history, and was rushed to the hospital. And they found out she was having a massive brainstem stroke. And we would soon learn that it was most likely she would not survive the day because of this incredible bleed happening in her brain. And again, there was no warning, no symptoms, no family history. It was caused by a very rare congenital defect called an AVM that she had had her whole life, but had no warning of until that day when it ruptured. And unfortunately, it was the largest they had seen, 4 aneurysms on top of it around her brainstem. You know, it was just every worst case scenario. And 16 hours later, she came out of surgery and they had removed part of her brain. They had done a lot of damage around her brainstem and her intracranial nerves. And yet they said Catherine lived. And that was in 2008. And so we're going to be celebrating 12 years of second chance at life. And, you know, little did we know, it would change our stories forever.
Yeah.
For not just Catherine, but our whole family.
Yeah, Catherine, you write in your book, a decade ago, I wrestled with the deepest despair of my life, wondering why God would have left me on this earth after my stroke. I was broken in body, brain, and spirit, unable to do anything or be anything other than a source of pain for everyone I loved. It seemed everyone would eventually stop being so sad if I wasn't here anymore. Wow. So this brought a sense of deep despondency to you, didn't it?
Totally, totally. From the moment of waking up in the coma-like state I was in after 2.5 months, I just began to wrestle with, why am I even here anymore? My body doesn't work, and I'm caught between life and death. I couldn't eat food for the first 11 months, and not eating, not walking, not being able to speak, they all equaled a feeling of no longer belonging on earth and I wasn't yet able to recognize how God had an extremely unique assignment for me on earth, and that it was actually a calling, I believe, that God chose me for this, and that it was a deep, special calling, as it says in Ephesians 4:1, that I was to live a life worthy of. And it really just transformed how I felt about my situation. I felt very selected, which is the most bizarre feeling in moments of terrible pain. But it transformed my understanding of everything, which is honestly what that book is about. Suffer Strong is about redefining how we see everything. And it is game changing, of course, because we know it isn't about what happens to us that really matters. It's about how we think about it, how we remember it, how we wake up to what God is doing in the story he's writing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of young girls, Catherine, who their whole life is, you know, wrapped up in social media, how many likes they get in their post on Instagram or Facebook, and you know, and you are, and of course you were a beautiful girl, and you still are, but I think an inner beauty has come out that is even a greater quality. But you were a model, actually, and you had a career, and now everything's been redefined. So what would you say to maybe someone who's what we might call somewhat obsessed with their image, the way they look, and they're living primarily in that world of social media? What would you say to them about what really matters in life?
Good question. I would have a lot to say. First of all, of course, the instant thing that comes to my mind is that this body is so temporary.
Yes.
And of course, 2 Corinthians 4, that idea that it's wasting away and inwardly we're being renewed day after day. I mean, that is such a tremendous hope in all of our stories, but specifically for the social media obsessed girl who's all about her image, I would say that so much of our just enormous issues with beauty, because no doubt she may be obsessing in a way that she looks awesome, but probably she's obsessing because something's not picture perfect. And the reality is we all got a bag of beauty issues, major issues with our appearance, and so much of the freedom that God is longing for us to receive from him is a deep ability to walk away from the shame that we all feel about things that we internalized that somebody said when we were 6 years old, and we've taken it to our teenage years, or, you know, that cycle of shame is so powerful. I believe the devil honestly longs to feed us a deep lie that there's joy associated with an appearance. And even when any appearance related dream or goal is met, we're totally unsatisfied. And so I think perhaps one of the things God has called me to disrupt in life, I feel like there's a number of them. One of them would be that any appearance equals a version of ecstasy and joy and all the good things, because that's so ridiculous. I think some of the most unhappy people in the world are the most beautiful people in the world.
It's very interesting. I love what you wrote when you said, while I look in the mirror and often don't love what I see, with each passing year, I long for the kind of beauty that is ultimately produced only by a divine love that heals, refines, and makes me whole. And there's a love that is higher and deeper and more lasting and abiding. And I think that what you display, Catherine, and what I'm hoping for all of our listeners today, and myself as well, is to discover that ultimate love that we are really hungering and thirsting for. It can never be satisfied with however many followers you might have on Instagram, or however beautiful if you have the right tennis shoes or the right hairstyle, that all of those things are transient and fading. But the thing that lasts is the love that God gives us, the worth that he places on us.
And what is so beautiful is when there is a recognition of that love, that deep love, there's not such a self-focus. Mm-hmm. The obsession with self and navel gazing keeps us from really seeing a world that so needs the hope of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's almost like in having a stroke, I was freed a bit to have the kind of the push and fuel I needed.
Wow.
To, by sitting me down in a chair, the Lord somehow fueled me to more throw off things that hinder and live for what matters.
Catherine, in the book Suffer Strong, you explain what you call invisible wheelchairs.
Yes.
You point out we all have invisible wheelchairs.
Absolutely.
Explain that.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I think, you know, I'm the one who's sitting in the external wheelchair that you see, but everybody has wheelchairs. You just don't always see them. We all have tremendous limitations in life, and whether or not they're on the inside or the outside, we've all got stuff. We've got baggage. We've got a lot of hurt, memories that are painful, things we've done, things that have been done to us. And very much in this day and age, I think there is a growing awareness of mental health and all the things that maybe you don't have an external wheelchair, but you've got some serious anxiety, depression, eating disorders, all kinds of different stuff you don't see. And it's so powerful to see all of these various types of limitations as being actually, I believe, avenues toward freedom. Mm. You know, I think of my actual physical wheelchair as being quite the opposite of what the world would say. The world would say, I'm wheelchair bound. I'm wheelchair bound, bound to the wheelchair. But I believe that is so ludicrous that actually I'm wheelchair free.
Wow.
The wheelchair frees me to do my life. The wheelchair frees me to go where I want to go. It's like the avenue to my freedom. The wheelchair takes me to do my life. So actually, that tremendous limitation of a chair that I sit in actually is helping me be free. And that is true, I believe, in all of our stories. I think, you know, it's difficult when it's not as clear as that to say how this horrible, hurtful thing that's wrecked my life is an avenue to freedom. But I think if we don't do what most of the world does, and I don't mean the world, most of the Western world at least does when suffering comes, which is turn off our brain. But instead, especially as Christ followers, really turn on the brain and start to recognize like, oh, wait, I need to put the pieces together here of what God is doing in my story and just deeply ponder, recognize, wake up to like all the ways God is at work. Then I think we can creatively move forward and say, hey, just like I do with my wheelchair, like, oh, wait, what the world would say is blank is actually blank. And here's why. And really identify, you know, they say the part of the brain, I think it's called the amygdala, that's that fight or flight reflex, that it can be trained to stay when it gets hard and painful and not just ridden off, you know? You know, I heard a missionary say recently that America is the only place in the world where groups of Christians gather together and pray away whatever is wrong with their lives. That is absolutely a prayer we should all pray. But that is not the initial prayer we should pray. That in the rest of the world, they are praying pockets in the rest of the world, pockets for faithfulness of what is happening, stewardship of this assignment that's difficult. They are praying instead of like, get that bad diagnosis reversed, hallelujah, they are praying, Lord, let me be found faithful as I suffer well for your glory. I know this is so much more than just about me. And there's a deep sense of God, you are at work in and through my pain. And I have been assigned to this for a specific reason. And that's really a transforming of the mind that just comes out in a prayer that I refuse to believe the lie that this all means nothing. It's just like this bizarre, or that God like cursed me or something stupid.
Yeah.
But instead, like, God chose me for this.
Yes.
He has assigned my life to me, and he is up to something powerful. That, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth, we wait eagerly for you, for your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. That's Isaiah 26:8, I think. And I love this thought that for his name and fame, and we will consider all happenings on earth to us a part of the story he's writing.
Wow, beautifully said, Catherine. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Catherine Wolf, right next to her wonderful husband, Jay, and they've written a new book called Suffer Strong, subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. And Catherine has said so many amazing things, but one that struck me was she doesn't see herself as wheelchair bound, but rather she sees herself as wheelchair free. And she sees things in a different way. As the Lord has allowed this in her life, and she wants to be faithful and she wants to glorify God. Maybe I'm talking to somebody that is in a wheelchair. I'm talking to somebody that's in a hospital bed, talking to somebody that is on a deathbed. I'm talking to a young girl who's just starting out in life, but is being bullied on social media. I'm talking to somebody that is just burdened with all that life has thrown their way. And I think you need some hope. And I'm glad to say that hope is on the way in this great book that will point you to scripture and point you to the Lord, called Suffer Strong, again by Catherine and Jay Wolf.
Jay, let me ask you a question. Some may hear the subject of your book, Suffer Strong, and think, oh, it's simply adopting a positive mental attitude, or, you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, you know. But as I've read it, that's not it at all, is it?
Yeah, exactly. I think for us, the upending of our life was what helped us to understand the upside down kingdom of God. So often, you know, we project God in our own image. We think that the ultimate end goal is health and wealth and comfort. And the whole message of Christ subverts all of that. It says you've been given what you've been given so you can give it away to the glory of God. So you can hope it forward. You are going through all these things that look like the end of your story, but it's a new beginning if you have eyes to see it that way. And I think so often, you know, even in the Bible, I think the command to remember is in the Bible, I think it's 5 times more than the command to believe, and maybe even 2 times more than the command to trust. So to me, that shows that this opportunity for us to remember the story we already know, the story that we're already a part of, this arc of a narrative that God is at work doing in the world that, you know, it may take some different specifics, but really we're all living out this same story in a way of God bringing new life where there should only be death, of him healing through our brokenness. And that to me is so powerful, to realize that we can think back to our past and find God at work in it, to have this new kind of bravery to live into an unknown future. I mean, we've, you know, come to this place after many years of really wrestling with and through this new life we never imagined living. And, you know, just to, as an aside, it took a couple of years to even come up for air. We're not sort of saying, you know, Catherine woke up from the stroke and was like, glory to God, like, you know, I love my new calling. This is awesome. Like, it was a real, you know, it was an upending. So I want to, you know, just give people permission to grieve losses.
Yeah.
I think of Jesus crying out at Lazarus's tomb. He knew
that's
the end
right.
of that story, but he was grieved at the suffering in the world. And so I think that's a very appropriate and necessary, but not to stay there forever, to find
right.
that the place of our wounding, in fact, I believe is part of another person's healing.
Yeah.
That when God has allowed us to experience him in the midst of the dark places, that we then have an opportunity to go back to those places
yeah.
and people will listen to us differently because we've been through it and then we've come out on the other side of it. And and so this is the cycle that God invites us to of, you know, I love that term of Jesus being the wounded healer and the suffering savior. You know, there's just this sort of this paradoxical sense of the whole Sermon on the Mount and the Kingdom of God, and it upends all the ways we think, oh, it has to either be good or it has to be hard. Yeah. And those are mutually exclusive and yes. those are separate. But the gospel mm-hmm. says on this side of heaven, it can be really hard, but that doesn't mean that it's not also good. Mm-hmm. Because this is the kind of story God is writing. Yes. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 is saying that it's not in our competence and our own strength that we find God's power to be made perfect, but it's in our weakness. Yeah. And so yeah. to the point about the invisible wheelchairs and the redefining and the remembering, I think, you know, it's really so exciting to think we want to control the outcomes, and you know, you don't have to live too long to realize we can't control many outcomes. But what we can control is the story we tell ourselves about ourselves and the story we tell ourselves about God in our story. And that's a powerful story to remember, because it's the voice we hear most often, is the voice in our heads. And so we get to choose which lessons we want to take away from our story. Two people can look at the exact same picture and tell totally different stories. Mm-hmm. And so I can say, you know what? I'm going to find God in my story. And that's going to actually, even neuroscientists say that changes the way our brains believe our future. Like, tomorrow may be the worst day or the best day. It also might be the last day. Yes. We don't know. This is the kind of reality we're all facing, whether we like to see it that way or not. But I can believe that God is going to show up again, because that's he has right. in the past.
Well, you know, the scripture that's often quoted at a time like this, and maybe without full comprehension, is Romans 8:28, that says, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I think sometimes we think that means that a bad thing will suddenly turn into a good thing. But in reality, bad things happen to Christians that always were bad things. Mm-hmm. Like, right. for instance, 11 years ago, our son Christopher died in an automobile accident. I'll never regard that, Catherine and Jay, as a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. But what I would say, though, is a good God has brought good things despite a really bad thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think also when we get to heaven, I wonder if we will not rethink the word good, because that which was perceived as bad on planet Earth
right.
will actually be looked at as good from an eternal perspective because of what it produced in our life. And Jay, I love one of your...
you're stealing all my material here.
Catherine chomping at the bit to jump
stop
in.
And oh let gosh. You speak then,
yes,
Catherine.
Yes, yes, all the yeses. Exactly, amen. So many important thoughts about that. First of all, Romans 8:28 is totally true, and it goes on to say things that are totally true, because God's love is not attached to anything in our physical world. And Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you hidden treasure in the mm-hmm. darkness,
yes.
riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am God, the God of Israel, the God who summoned you by name. And the beautiful thought in our nightmares and in the darkness is that there is treasure there. And when you have to go to the darkness, we get to be treasure bearers for the rest of our lives. And that can be extremely cold comfort when you have a child die, or you have a massive stroke, or in any of our horrific nightmares. But the thought of God selecting us and giving us a treasure is a comfort, for sure.
Sir Richard Baker?
Yeah, I would say I went on a journey probably 8 years ago to understand the goodness of God and reconcile some of that junk that I've always believed in light of what happened to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say junk in a negative way, just things that people would say to me
yeah.
that mm-hmm. are putting Jesus band-aids on bullet wounds
wow.
and things that really could only be classified as like a Christian cliche mm-hmm. that was almost meaningless and very painful, in fact. Mm-hmm. And what I have found is that the word good is totally defined wrongly in our world. That true goodness, says Sir Richard Baker, a theologian from the 1600s, that true goodness can never be withheld from us. Psalm 84:11 is true, because the truly good things of God are not things at all. The truly good, best things are peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, the fruition of his presence in
That's
this
right.
life, and the assurance of his face in the next. And those things are not things the world can touch. No matter what's going on in our broken lives, the untouchable things inside of us are the truly good ones that cannot be withheld.
You're listening to Catherine Wolfe talk about what she has learned in light of a life-altering event that took place for her when she suffered a near-fatal brainstem stroke at the age of 26. And I'm interviewing her and her husband, Jay. And one thing that Jay said earlier that I really liked was, it looks like the end of your story when it actually is a new beginning. And I think right now I might be talking to somebody that feels like they've come to the end of their story, some horrible news, some traumatic event. They think that's it. But we're offering a book right now written by Catherine and Jay titled Suffer Strong. I love the subtitle, How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. And it's the way you look at things, as you guys have shared. And we want to offer this amazing new book to anyone for your gift of any size, so we can continue on to teach God's word and to feature guests like Catherine and Jay, and also to proclaim the gospel, which is really the only hope. Because here's the bottom line, whatever suffering we're going through today, 100 years from now, well, it's kind of a more of a thought, we'll all be dead. But if we put our trust in Christ, we'll be in heaven. And when it's really all said and done, are you ready for eternity? And that is why we do what we do. And I know that really motivates Catherine and Jay as well. So I think this book, Suffer Strong, is really going to be a great message of hope and encouragement. And it will also help you to redefine what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever your challenge is, whether it's a health crisis, an employment crisis, there's so much we've all been through with this pandemic and just with life in general. So take advantage of this hope by two people who've learned the lessons of trusting God in the crucible. They'll help you suffer strong. And we'll be glad to send their book, Suffer Strong, to thank you for your donation to help keep these radio programs coming your way each day with much-needed hope and encouragement. Make the arrangements at harvest.org or by calling 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And Pastor Greg, we're extra thankful for those folks who invest in this ministry on a monthly basis, aren't we?
Yes.
What do we call those special friends?
We call them Harvest Partners. And I'm going to let you in on a secret that you probably already know, Dave, but the vast majority of our Harvest Partners are, little musical fanfare, ladies.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've read that in most homes, the women are in charge of the finances. They're the one that write the checks and they take care of the bills. And so I want to say thank you to all you ladies. And now I want to turn to another lady and say, Kathy, why is it important for a woman listening right now to make this a part perhaps of their regular giving? What happens if she invests some of the finances of their home into our ministry?
Well, first of all, thank you for doing that, those of you that already are Harvest Partners. And we would like to say to all the rest of you, would you pray about becoming a Harvest Partner? Do you realize that because of your faithful giving monthly, we can count on a certain budget with which we can project into the future and make plans for the future? If our giving ebbs and flows month to month, we're grateful for the gifts we have, that it certainly helps us to plan better and strategize our radio program and our outlets and media outlets because you do give regularly. So thank you for that. And with the rest of you, consider doing that. And my encouragement to those of you, especially those of you ladies out there, is Jesus's ministry was funded by a group of women, many of them who traveled with him. And I want to be one of those women. I want to join Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna and Cleopas and the other women of the New Testament who provided out of their substance, probably from their daily grocery budget and their household living expenses, to make sure that Jesus and the disciples could do the work that they could do.
Mm. Well, you heard that, ladies. So we thank you for your support and all that you can do to help us to continue to bring this program to people all around the nation and even the world. So whatever you can do is appreciated. And today, we encourage you to become a Harvest Partner.
Yeah, that's right. And you can do that online in just a few mouse clicks at harvest.org. Just click donate. Or call us, and we can help you with the details by phone. The number is 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And with your first gift as a Harvest Partner, we'll send you Jay and Catherine's new book called Suffer Strong. Well, next time, Jay and Catherine will join us again for more great insight on how we can survive the trying times of trial and challenge. Timely insight next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.